The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you trying to put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. So today, Tony let me know that there wouldn't be any special music during the offering, so I decided that I would bring some of my own. So I'm going to begin the sermon by singing you a song. Let me go ahead and apologize ahead of time for any notes that may be wrong or slightly out of tune. It's the most horrible time of the year. Republicans berating while Democrats are hating. We're all filled with fear. It's the most horrible time of the year. It can't get any worse than right now. There are Trump flags a-flying and others want Biden. They love them, but how? It can't get any worse than right now. The candidates debating, they're all masquerading. Is it truth or is it a lie? They'll approve an ad, say their opponent is bad. Oh my gosh, I think I will cry. It's the most horrible time of the year. Republicans berating while Democrats are hating. We're all filled with fear. It's the most horrible time. Yes, the worst, absolute worst. Oh, it's the most horrible time of the year. It's funny, I have to do something other than preach to get applause. But anyway, I am so sick of politics right now. The ads, the debates, the news reports, the arguments, the social media posts. I mean, it's awful, isn't it? I can't wait for it all to be finished. I mean, you got the ads. Oh, great. We know exactly how horrible your opponent is, but by all means, don't tell us what you believe. You've got the news reports. Yeah, they're not biased at all. You've got the arguments on social media and between people. Let me save you some time and air, my friends. You ain't changing anybody's mind at this point. And it's just all a big mess, isn't it? I mean, are you not completely sick of it all? I know I am. I can't wait for the election to be over, because then maybe we can get along again, right? But you know, that's not what happened last time, is it? Last time, it made things even worse. Because I think what happened was, people were so shocked at the outcome, no matter who you voted for, everybody was kind of surprised. And then people started rallying around folks and villainizing people who voted on the other way. The people who stood in the middle were felt judged and berated for how they voted. And so it pushed people to opposite sides and made them more and more passionate about their party and their candidate. So the division grew more and more and more. And it got worse and worse and worse. But maybe this time will be different, right? Maybe after the second Tuesday in November. Or is it the first Tuesday in November? First day, whichever day is vote day, everybody's voting now already anyway. So whenever that is, the first Tuesday in November, after that, maybe we'll be friends again. But I'm not going to hold my breath. Because, you know, they say that you're not supposed to talk about religion or politics. I don't have a choice when it comes to religion, but I know some of you are thinking that I ought to stay out of politics. You know, I got no business up here talking about it. Now, some of you are wondering which side I'm going to stand on. Well, some of you are thinking that it has no place in church at all. Well, hopefully I haven't showed my cards at all, but I'm sure some of you think that I have. But at the same time, I kind of agree. I don't think politics belong in church. Well, sort of. Because here's the problem with that. First of all, politics are part of our lives, right? And because they're part of our life, that means it's also part of our faith. Because our faith touches every aspect of our life. And secondly, Jesus dealt with politics often. Jesus was a political figure, whether we like it or not. And therefore, as much as I don't like to have to talk about it, it's something that we must face and we must look at through the lens of faith. But the truth is, I know it and you know it. When I stand up here talking about it, it's in a no-win situation. Just like the question that they asked Jesus. In today's gospel reading, two groups came up to Jesus. It was the Pharisees and the Herodians. Now, folks, this is not like the Democrats and the Republicans coming up to the same person to talk. This is like Antifa and white supremacists coming up and talking. Okay? These two groups could not have been farther from each other. And yet, when it came to Jesus, they were ready to team up to see if they could take him out. Because you see, the Pharisees were the most devout Jews. They were all about God's law. The Herodians were all about Rome. They were Jews, but they followed the emperor. And they were devout followers of Caesar. And these two groups did not get along at all. So it must have been bad for them to want to team up. And they did. And so they asked Jesus a very pointed question. Is it right for us to pay taxes or not? Now see, there were all kinds of taxes that the people had to pay back then. There was temple tax, and there was property tax, and there was this tax and that tax. But the tax they were talking about here was the tax that they paid just for the pleasure of being occupied by Rome. They didn't like being occupied by Rome, and they certainly didn't like to have to pay taxes to be occupied by Rome. To make matters worse, you may recall from the Ten Commandments that we are not supposed to worship graven images. We're not supposed to have graven images. That's what they believed. Guess what's on a coin? An image of someone else. I mean, here, even on my, I've got a dollar bill right here. Money quiz, who's on this one? George Washington. Yeah, you can't even see it. You know it's George Washington, right? This isn't a graven image for them. And so they didn't even like holding the money with the emperor's face on it. But the Herodians felt like Rome's occupation benefited them. And it, probably for them it did. It gave them more money, more power, more status. And so they were all about the emperor. So to ask Jesus whether or not it was right to pay taxes was a no-win situation. If he'd have said, yeah, you pay your taxes. Well, then the Pharisees said, see, he's against God. Because clearly he's breaking the first commandment. You know, he thinks that we ought to have these coins so we can pay the taxes. And he doesn't think God comes first. He thinks that the emperor comes first. If, however, he said, no, you don't pay taxes. Well, then he's in trouble with Rome. And that's when things would have gotten really ugly. So Jesus was really in a no-win situation. But Jesus is smarter than all of that, right? And so Jesus asked for a coin, which, by the way, a Pharisee should not have had. But somehow they came up with one. And he said, ah, whose face is this? And whose title? They said, the emperor's. We'll give to the emperor what belongs to the emperor and give to God what belongs to God. It's a brilliant answer. But what does it mean to us today?
Does it mean that we have to pay taxes? Well, yeah, you do have to pay taxes. Does it mean that we don't have to give money to the church because it's got Washington's name on it? No, that's not saying that either. Because here's the reality. The answer goes much deeper than that. Because in the original language, it doesn't say whose face or whose head is it. It said whose image is it. Now, you may remember from long way back in the beginning of the Bible, when the Almighty was creating male and female, in the image of God. So whose image is it? It's God's. Whose image is on our money? God's. Sure, it may look like George Washington, but it's God's. Just like any picture of us, we are created in the image of God, as were all of the people who are on any dollar bill or any coin ever. They too are created in the image of God. And so guess what, folks? When we render what belongs to God, it all does. It all belongs to God. Now, like seminarian Brandy said, we still have to follow the rules that people give us, but we also follow the rules that God gives us. And that means we have to be willing, ready, and able to give what belongs to God. And what does belong to God? Everything, including you and me. But what are we doing right now? What are we rendering to Caesar? What are we rendering to the emperor? What are we rendering to our government right now that we should be rendering to God? And I ain't worried about money at this point. But we are rendering. We're rendering our loyalty. We're rendering our allegiance. We're rendering our hope. And we are rendering our trust to our government. Are we not? Think about it. We are so very loyal to our country, as we should be. However, is this where our true loyalty should lie? Because we oftentimes are so much more loyal to a party than we are to the Word of God, are we not? Because whatever our candidate says, oh, well, that's gospel truth, right? And let me tell you, folks, sometimes our candidate is dead on right, no matter which side of the aisle they're on. And sometimes they are dead wrong. But if we are following a candidate and we believe our candidate is always right, we are not following Jesus, we are following that person. Period. We're being loyal and giving our loyalty not to God. And our allegiance is the same way. I mean, we're so worried about how people are treating the flag. What about how we treat the cross? That is a symbol of our faith. That is a symbol of our life and life eternal. How much more so should we revere that symbol? And what about our hope? I mean, right now, we are so hopeful that whoever wins will fix everything that's broken, right? We hope that this election will turn everything around. We hope that we'll have prosperity. Is this where our hope lies? Should our hope really lie with a person? Or should our hope lie with the God who loves us beyond compare and gives us the true hope of eternal life? And our trust. Who do we trust? You know how I know that we struggle with trust right now? Because the opposite of trust is fear. And how many of us are afraid that if the other candidate wins, that we're going to be in big trouble? When ultimately, God is in control. Ultimately, God reigns. Ultimately, it is God that we are called to love and to trust. But we're rendering our trust to the government. We are rendering our trust to candidates when our trust belongs to God. So, during this election season, let me encourage you to do a few things. First of all, pray. Pray that God would give us the wisdom and understanding to choose the candidate that He chooses, the one that is being called by God to lead us. And also pray for the candidates, both of them or all of them. And don't pray bad things on the other one. Pray for them, because they too are beloved children of God. And pray for our country. Pray for unity. Pray that we may start rendering to God that which belongs to God. Pray that we may follow the word of Christ instead of the word of Facebook. And secondly, listen. Listen to the fears and the struggles of our friends and neighbors, even and maybe especially if they don't agree with us. And when I say listen, that means don't talk back. Don't try to convince them of something else. Just listen. And do you know why I say that? Because no one is expecting you to do that anymore. No one is expecting people to listen. And so maybe, just maybe, if we Christians started listening instead of talking all the time, it might shock people and make them wonder what's making us different. And then lastly, love. That is our primary emotion. That is our primary response. That is our primary action. No matter what side of the aisle someone is on, no matter who they vote for, no matter what decision they make, no matter where they stand, doesn't matter. You and I, we love people. Because when we cast our vote, we need to cast our vote for Jesus Christ. Period. That's who we're voting for. We vote for the one who loves us and saves us. The one who is never wrong. The one who always chooses correctly, and the one who wants what's best for us all the time, with no ulterior motives, with no hidden agenda, is Jesus Christ. Because that's who we cast our ballot for when we were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the one who we follow. He is our leader. And therefore, we are called to love our brothers and sisters no matter what. That's who we are. You know, I wonder what things would look like if we got as excited about our faith as we do about our candidates. You know, I drive down the street and I see all these signs up all over the place and flags flying here and there and bumper stickers all over the cars. What if we were that excited about Jesus? What if we couldn't hold back telling people where we stood on our faith? What if we got so excited about our Lord and Savior that we wanted everybody to know that that's what we believe? Not because we want them to feel guilty, not because we want to judge them, but because we want them to know that we love them. What if we got that excited about our faith? Bet this election season would look very different then, wouldn't it? May God bless you. Amen.